Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And I'm excited about this evening's Bible study. That's right. This evening is once again expository teaching, book, chapter, and verse. Yes, I love that. I love teaching that way. And we're going to be in the book of Romans. And so I'm excited. Are you ready to go? Well, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 9. And we're going to expound verses 18 through 25. And I'm excited because I believe God has a word for us this evening. Amen, amen, amen. And so I've entitled this evening's message, A Chosen Generation. Let's look on the screen right up here. Let's go here. There it is. A Chosen Generation. Saints of God, did you know that you and I have been chosen before the foundation of the world? Did you know that God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Do you know that God, before he spoke the whole entire universe into existence, he already knew your name? And so I'm excited. I'm excited about this evening's message because God's going to show us through the Word that you and I are a peculiar people. Yes, that's right. We've been chosen before the foundation of the world. Little did we know that as we lived throughout the course of this life that God has given us, we didn't know the day and the hour that God would draw us to the cross. And now that we've been driven to the cross, we have surrendered our life. We have repented of our sins. We cried out to God, and God has washed us in his blood. He has filled us with his Spirit. And now we are the children of the Most High God. Listen, I'm excited because we are a chosen generation. And so let's go there to the Word of God. Are we there at Romans chapter 9? Let's read verses 18 through 25, and then we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Praise God. Praise God. Here we go. And it reads, therefore, he has mercy on whom he will, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? What? Look at this. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him, who formed it? Why have you made me like this? Let me just pause there. Listen, there's things of life that we go through. And there are certain situations, there are certain sins that somehow that we acquire. Sometimes it's like this. We did it to ourselves. And a lot of times we want to blame God. But let me just say this. We live in a fallen world. Ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, we have now inherited that sinful nature. This is why Jesus had to come. Jesus had to come to eradicate and to save us from ourselves. Also, he came to save us from the wrath that is about to come. And so, my friends, there's nothing to blame God for what God has allowed in our life. We are here this evening to let you know that God has called us, God has sanctified us, God has filled us with his Spirit. There's purpose now for you and I can't wait to see what God is going to do in your life and my life. Can I get an amen? That's right, because he's the God from everlasting to everlasting. That's right. And so let's continue with the word here. And look at this in verse 20. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, Why have you made me like this? Look at this. Verse 21. Does the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath to make his power known, endured with much long suffering for vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Wow. Wow. Look at this. Verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory. My goodness, the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Let me just pause there real quick. Did you catch that? You and I are vessels of mercy. Before the foundation of the world, he already sought us out. He already knew who were going to come to him and surrender. My goodness. And now we are at his mercy. Praise God. Let's go back to the word here. Vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of us Gentiles. Look at that. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? God had you and I in mind before the foundation of the world. So are we ready to break down line by line? Let's go now to verse 18. Let's go there. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he even hardens. Wow, my friends. You see, everything comes from God's sovereign choices. Israel, as God's chosen people, had made a grave mistake in acting with superiority over others who were not of God's chosen nation. That's right. There was a whole lot of jealous folks. It was the pride that made them misunderstand, saints of God, their own scriptures that said God would also offer salvation beyond to Israel, to you and I, to all the other nations. But yet, they didn't see it. They didn't catch it. So let's look at verse 19 here. Let's go here. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? Did you catch that? Who has resisted his will? Now, let me just say this. When God called you, did you resist? No, he quickened us. He made us come alive. We were like, we were dead in transgressions and sins. We were like walking zombies. We were the night of the living dead. That's what we were. We were walking around physically alive, but spiritually dead. But when he quickened us, we came alive. And when we came alive, we saw the cross and we ran to the cross. He allowed us to see him for the first time. My goodness, my goodness. You see, my friends, Paul, the apostle, probably had countless discussions with fellow Jews about these issues. So he can anticipate their question. That's right. And you could do the same, anticipate unbelievers' questions. Now, if God simply chooses those on whom he will have mercy and those whom he will harden, why does God blame people for not listening, huh? Have you ever wondered that? Haven't they just simply done what he made them do? But see, saints of God, occasionally these questions are asked by those who are genuinely seeking to understand God and his ways with people. Usually, those saints of God, however, they are used to excuse certain behavior. You know, it's not my fault. God, it's your fault. You ever heard them say that? Oh, it's all God's fault. Well, I'm here to let you know it's not his fault. We live in a sinful body. We live in a sinful nature. And so in either case, saints of God, as Paul explains, the answer is the same. We ourselves are to blame. Why? Because we are guilty of trying to reject or resist God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's go to the next verse. Verse 20. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Wow. Have you ever came across that, saints? Have you ever came across people, this is the way God made me? Well, listen. Paul has little patience for such questions. And he supposes that God doesn't either. Can I get an amen? When it comes down to it, a mere human being cannot criticize God. Why? Because we are, our brains are so minute. We're like little tiny pea pods of brains, and God is so vast. He fills all space. You ever looked at NASA's photos of the galaxy, of what the Hubble telescope looks at? Trillions and trillions of light years of vastness of all the universes, and yet God is bigger than that. That's right. And we try to figure out God. Wow. And so we have to understand, saints of God, He is absolutely sovereign. We are extremely privileged to have any relationship with Him at all. His dealings with all the world are not to be judged by us. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, quoting from Scripture, Paul, the apostle, he illustrates the absurdity of such questions. That's right. But God filled Paul with so much wisdom and understanding. That's right. Yes, He did. He certainly did. And if we look at the Word of God, there were some scriptures that He used, that He used the Old Testament to respond to the people that were so rebellious. That's right. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at, He used the Old Testament's scriptures. Look at Isaiah 29:16. Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? Did you catch that, my friends? You see, in the book of Romans, Paul understood the Old Testament. Remember, the New Testament wasn't written already. He was writing it in real time back then. That's right. But he was using it to form his truth so that men and women this day could understand that God is sovereign. God chooses. God's the one that calls. God is the one that created. God's the one that spoke things into existence. Can I get amen? That's right. Now, let's look at this next scripture in Isaiah 45:9. Look at this. Woe to him who strives with his maker. What? Come on now. Did you catch that? Woe to him who strives with his maker. This is not our place. Can I get amen? Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Did you catch that, my friends? We have no say in this, other than that we have surrendered our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we walk by faith and not by sight. We are the called out ones. God drew us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God is creating something beautiful in you, something beautiful in me. We are to receive His blessings. We are to walk into the anointing of God. We are to walk in His call. Why? Because God has a blessing for you and I. God is not done with us. God wants to use us to the fullest until He calls us home. There are many souls that need to be saved. There are many friends, family members, cousins, aunts, uncles, neighbors, co-workers that don't know the love of God. But God wants to use you. God wants to use me to draw them, hallelujah, out of the pit of hell, that they would come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has equipped you to plant and to water, but God will give the increase. You have to understand that in the time that we live in, Jesus is about to return. And if He's going to return soon, we need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on, somebody got to give Him praise and glory. Why? Because God is doing something radical, something awesome. He's blessing our lives. He's supplying all of your needs according to His riches and glory. He's doing the miraculous in the midst. Some of you may not see it just yet, but you have to hold on, because we walk by faith and not by sight. Can I get amen? God is blessing you, and you need to understand that. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's move on to verse 21 here. Let's go here. We're in Romans chapter 9, verse 21. Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for what? Dishonor. Wow. Oh my gosh. That's right. There's some vessels that are fully in dishonor. That's right. You see, saints, to further illustrate God's sovereignty, Paul compares God to a potter, a very common and necessary vocation in ancient times, since most cooking and storage was done in various types of clay. A lot of them were pots. The potter has every right to take one large lump of clay and use part of it to make a jar for decoration and another part of it to make a garbage can. Wow. Neither item has any right to complain and ask why the potter did what he did. Are you catching this, saints? The lesson of the potter points to equal worth among lumps of clay. And so while the artist's purpose and design may differ, the proper attitude for clay is to be pliable rather than stiff, receptive rather than rebellious, and grateful for the potter's touch rather than resentful of the potter's purpose for us. That's right. That's right. Listen, saints of God, we need to be totally, totally thankful that God has had mercy on you. He has had mercy on me. That he drew us from the miry clay. He set our feet, hallelujah, on solid ground. And you and I now are heaven bound, and there's a hell to shun. God is doing the miraculous in your life, and you need to understand that, my friends. We can't complain how God made you. And listen, I know we're getting older. I'm 62 already. You know, my locks are gone. When I was 15, I could do this and I can do that. Those are gone. But I'm believing that God has something beautiful awaiting me and awaiting you in the new body. Just hold on. Hold on. Don't throw in the towel. It's not time to quit. This is the time to get busy. This is the time to look up, for our redemption draws near. Praise God. Just look what 1 Peter says right here. Look at this. In 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, therefore, humble yourself. This is how we need to operate right now as a chosen people. We need to be a people of humility. We need to be a people that will walk worthy of the call. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting. Listen, this is what we need to do. Let me just stop right here for a moment and pause. This is what you and I need to do. We need to cast all your anxiety, all your fears, all your phobias, all your shortcomings, cast them on the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for me. Let's go back to the Word of God and confirm that. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Praise God. Be sober. Be diligent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You see, my friends, if you think you're suffering, you don't want to live in the Middle East in underground churches. Because if the Muslims discover that you are born again and that you are a Bible-believing Christian, they will come in and raid you. They will capture you and torture you. And in Iran, they will behead you publicly. That's right. We don't know what persecution is. But right now, it's going on every day over there. Untold. But it's taking place. Oh, that's right. If you get a magazine called The Martyrs, you can see some grotesque photos. Some that I wouldn't even put up here on this screen. As they are tortured for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My goodness. Let's go back to God's Word here. Look at this. In Isaiah, look at this. In Isaiah, my friends, Isaiah 64, 8. Look at this. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. And all we are is the work of your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. Look at this. For to this you were called. Did you catch that? You and I were called. I need you to make it personal. You and I were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Look at verse 23. Who then he was reviled, did not revile in return. Praise God. He kept his mouth shut, saints of God. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Let me just say this. Some of us, if we get threatened, we go, man, what up? We want to get right back in their grill. But not Jesus. He took it all for you and I. We got to be like him. We got to learn to die to self. We got to learn to die to anger and to hostility. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's go back to the word. Look at this. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Praise God. For you were like sheep gone astray, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Praise God. He is the overseer of our souls. Did you catch that? Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a loving God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's move on in Romans. Romans chapter 9. Let's go here. In verse 22. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for what? Destruction. Wow. Wow. These are folks that will probably never come to the Lord because they're stiff-necked. It's not that God rejected them. It's that they rejected God. That's right. You see, saints, the objects of his judgments are non-believers. God has been patient with their antagonism, rebellion, blasphemy, and hatred because he has given them time to repent. That's right. He's given them a whole bunch of time to repent. That's right. Let's look at what the Word of God says about that. Look at this. It's found in 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. Say that with me at home. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come what? To repentance. That's what it's all about, my friends. That's what it's all about. But those who refuse to repent are fit only for destruction. Their doom is coming. I'm sorry to say that. They have rebelled and refused to turn to God for salvation. And thus, my friends, they have taken responsibility for their own destruction. They can't blame God. But God has every right to exercise his judgment and his power. Without God's mercy and great patience, saints of God, shown to you and I, shown to us, completely apart from our performance, we would have no hope at all. If God did not do this for his own purposes, we would be instantly destroyed. My goodness. And so, saints, thank God for his mercy. Come on, somebody thank God for his mercy and his long suffering. Why? Because the Holy Spirit demonstrates his mercy towards his own people. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in our soul? Thank you, God. Let's look at in Galatians right here. Look at this. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit, look at this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, I want you to see this. This is what's waiting for the unbeliever. And my friends, this is why we need to cry out. We need to cry out to God for our loved ones. Listen, there are many of you right now that's listening, that's logged in. Some of you are filled with the Holy Spirit, heaven-bound. You're sanctified. You have repented of your sins, and you are a child of God. But many of you have family members and friends and co-workers that don't know God. They have rejected the truth. My goodness. Oh, cry out for their souls. Can I get an amen? That they would be counted worthy to enter in to the grace of God and the mercy of God. Look what it says in the book of Romans right here for the unbeliever. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. My friends, I'm here to let you know that the wrath of God is coming. But this is why God has removed the church. He is going to remove you and I, the church of the living God, the born-again believer that has repented, that has turned from their sins. We have been washed in the blood. We have been filled with His Spirit of promise. And God's going to remove us out of the way. He's going to pour out His wrath. This is why there's no time left. We need to cry out for our loved ones. We need to cry out for our family members and co-workers and acquaintances. Can I get an amen? Why? Because it's going to be a hideous, ugly day when the wrath of God comes. The Bible says many, even powerful men, people in the military, people of high prominence, billionaires, millionaires, they're all going to crawl under a rock and say, "Don't take your face away from me, for the wrath of God has come." Wow, because God's going to pour it out, saints of God. He's going to pour it out. He's going to pour it out mightily. My goodness, my goodness. We need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen? Now, this is what waiting for the believer. For you and I. That's right. We see what's waiting for the unbeliever when the church is removed. But what's waiting for the believer? Let's look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11, for God, say that with me, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Look at that. That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Look at this. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as also, my goodness, you are also doing. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? See, the believer, you and I, we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. So whether we are dead in our bodies in the ground or we are alive still, God is going to remove us. He's going to resurrect the dead. That's right. And we're going to be with Him forevermore. We're going to experience the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven with Him. We're going to have a party so vast, so big, that all heaven is going to rejoice. And you and I are part of that invitation by faith. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's keep moving on. We're coming in for a close. Let's go to Romans chapter 9, verse 23. And that He may... Look at this, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had prepared beforehand for glory. Praise God. Praise God. See, you and I, saints of God, we were appointed. Thank you, Jesus, for glory. Praise God. Praise God is so good. Amen. Praise God. Look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. In Ephesians 1, 9 through 14, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to what? His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things which Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in Him. Praise God. Look at this. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed. Say that with me. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, God cannot revoke it. God cannot take that back. You are sealed with the guarantee of inheritance. Look at this. That's what verse 14 says. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, saints, in contrast, the objects of His mercy are believers, both Jews and Gentiles. To these He will pour out the riches of His glory. This is God's sovereign choosing when He works with pots and prepared for destruction, oh God. Thank you, Lord. for His glory. See, the key point is to remember is that all this has been in God's plan from the beginning, when God's dealings with His creation, saints of God, have been summed up. There will not be a shred of doubt about His wrath and power and glory. Praise God. Praise God. We're coming in for a close. We got two more scriptures to break down. Romans 9 and verse 24. Even us whom He called, not of the Jews, but also of the what? Gentiles. Praise God. That's what you and I are. We're a Gentile. We're not a Jew. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians here, 4 through 9. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Jesus Christ, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Look at this, verse 7, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom also, look at this, confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless, praise God, in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say this with me at home, saints of God. God is faithful. Say that again. God is faithful, by whom you were called in the fellowship of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. My goodness, God is faithful to you. God has been faithful to me. You see, when the Jews rejected His salvation, salvation was given to us Gentiles. That's right. Many of us have so many friends and family members from different ethnicities, and yet God has saved many of us. Why? Because of His grace, of His mercy. That was His plan. 2,000 years ago, when He died on a hideous cross, He died for you and I. He had you and I already in mind, saints of God. You see, believers still may wonder why they would be chosen while others were rejected. And we're never going to figure this out. But Paul's point is that God is sovereign and that no one has any claim on His mercy. He prepared us in advance by His gift of salvation, and He will reveal His glory when we are finally with Him for eternity. Praise God. And so, my friends, instead of focusing on God choosing some and rejecting others, we should stand in awe at God's offer of grace to any of us. Can I get an amen? Thus, no one can demand that God explain why He does what He does. He makes all the rules, but He loves to show mercy to us. What an amazing God He is. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. He's an amazing God. He's an awesome God. Hallelujah. And He's from everlasting to everlasting, for He is God. And so let's look at our last verse of scripture to break down. As He says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. Wow. Wow, my friends. Man, I'm telling you, we are His beloved. You are His beloved. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in Peter, 1 Peter 2, 7 through 10. It says, therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which also were appointed. Look at this. Say this with me, my friends. This is where I got the name of our topic, the name of our message. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Somebody got to give God praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are now a people of God. We are a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people. God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You and I now can be steadfast, walking toward the prize and call in Christ Jesus. This is why, saints of God, learn to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you. Why? Because I want to press toward the prize, to the call in Christ Jesus. You and I, many of us, God, hallelujah, went dumpster diving for us. That's right. He found us in the pits. He found us on the on the just the pile of just dung. King James, you know what dung is? He found us on a pile of dung, and he saved us. He sanctified us. He washed us in his blood, and now we can glorify his name. We can call upon his name. Now we have power through the name of Jesus. We have eternal life, praise God. God has saved us from the wrath to come. Praise God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. And so, saints, to back up the statement that God also calls us Gentiles, Paul quoted two verses from the prophet Hosea. Several hundred years before Jesus' birth, Hosea told of God's intention to bring Gentiles into his family after the Jews would reject his plan. Praise God. God was not surprised by Israel's rejection. Israel thought that they alone were God's chosen because of their lineage and their laws. But God's plan never was to save only the Jews. His call was for people of all nations, praise God. And we find this in Hosea. Let's look at this for a moment before we close. Hosea 2:23. Then I will sow her, look at this, myself in the earth. And I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. My goodness. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. Praise God. You are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. My God. This is why, saints, Jesus is coming soon. That's right. Have you asked yourself, why did I get saved in this generation? Why was I born in this generation? Because in God's perfect timing, in God's perfect plan, he has saved us so that we would be the generation to proclaim, hallelujah, and to prophesy, and to be a witness for the unbelievers to come into that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now our heart cry should be, Jesus is coming soon. Prepare yourself to meet the King. God is going to come and take away his church from this earth. That's right. And the Bible's clear of what will take place, my friends. That's right. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. And this is what he said. Let's go there right now. This is what he said to them. And this pertains to us today. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, say that with me at home, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. My goodness. You see, here's God's plan in a nutshell. He saved us to bring him glory, that we would be a witness. As for 2,000 years, he has been saving many around the world. But now there's a culmination of things. All the prophetic significance of all the things that were prophesied is now converging. We're seeing the number one thing in our generation, that Israel became a nation in one day after they were scattered for over 3,500 years. That is a sign to this generation that Jesus is about to return. Can I get an amen? Now, it's going to happen so fast. You see, these earthly vessels that we live in, these earthly bodies, it's made of flesh and blood. It cannot go into heaven. That's right. We're confined to the law of gravity. That's right. Many of us can't even jump 6 inches off the ground. But I'm here to let you know, the Bible says we must be changed and we must be like the Lord Jesus Christ to meet him in the clouds. The Bible says it's going to be like the twinkling of an eye. I did an in-depth study on that, and that's faster than the speed of light. The speed of light travels 186,000 miles per second. It's going to be faster than that. And we're going to be changed, and we're going to be like him. Look what it says in God's word right here. It says this, 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall what? Be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God Almighty. Praise God. Now, my question is, are you ready? Have you repented of your sins? Have you come to God and just surrendered your life? Has he washed you in his blood? Are you filled with his Holy Spirit of promise? Can you say without a shadow of a doubt, I'm heaven bound and there's a hell to shun? Because if you are not ready, don't ever let this happen to you. Please, let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow. Wow. Man, I'm telling you, the first time I saw that clip, it reminded me that God's word will come to pass. Please, don't be left behind like those few that were in there. That place was packed out. But the ones that were left behind, they weren't born again. They might have joined the church. They might have been in church since Sunday school when they were children. Maybe they are members, but they never completely surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you that opportunity right now if you're listening. And all you have to do is cry out to God. 2,000 years ago, the very first sermon that was preached by Peter the Apostle, he preached this one sermon, and these were the two scriptures that have been so profound over 2,000 years. Let's look at this right now. Let's look at this. Then Peter said to them in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remission means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Wow. Wow, my friends. I'm here to let you know that God loves you. He does. And you might have just logged on for the first time, or maybe it's a few times you've been on, and maybe you've never really given your heart to Christ. Well, I would love for you to bow your heart and your head with me and allow me to lead you into a sinner's prayer. I can't guarantee that the prayer that you pray will save you, but I do know the Bible says if you believe in faith and repent of your sins, He will save you. That's right. The prayer is not mystical or magical. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save you. If you're watching and you're there and you want to give your heart to Christ, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Hey, someone just gave their heart to Jesus. Someone just got saved. Listen, right down below, there's our website. Listen, reach out to us. Yes, our email, our phone number, call us. Reach out. We want to give you a Bible. We want to point you to a church that teaches and preaches the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. And if you live locally, we'd love to invite you out to Amazing Grace. We're here on Sundays at 10:30 at 5305 Sweetwater Road in Bonita, California. 10:30, we worship and praise, and then we bring the Word of God. We would love to see you on Sunday. Come on out. But I want to thank you all for this evening that have logged in. I hope that the Word of God spoke to you, and I pray that you would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, down below also is another banner of thankfulness. Many of you have been so gracious, continuing to bless the ministry, that we could continue to just minister the Word of God, whether it's online or in person. And so we thank you for all your donations, because your donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, it's time for me to sign off. And on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all your prayers and your blessings. You have made all this come to pass because of your faith. And so we love you. But here's the thing. God loves you even more. Praise God. So I want to leave this benediction to your homes. It's the Aaronic blessing. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So my friends, I'm going to sign off now. God bless you. I hope to see you this Sunday at 10:30, 5305 Sweetwater Road. And we're in beautiful Bonita, California. Come on out. It's time to come back to church. It's time to shake off that COVID thing now. There should be no more fear, but now come back and start walking in faith. Can I get an amen? Love you. Can't wait to see you Sunday at 10:30. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.